me do this. Let me pray real quick before we get started and as we open up the word and we'll get started. Father, we thank you that you have given us an opportunity to dig into your word. And God, I pray that today would be a time where we recognize how empowered we are, how you have done great things and went to great extents to empower us to be the people we are today. So Father, help us to live in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have a quick question for you, and it's going to sound like a question that has a punchline after it, but honestly, there's no punchline. I'm not that creative. Let me ask you this. What's the difference between a Tonka truck? Now, if you don't know, I recognize that maybe for some of you that dates me, but I'm hoping not, because I'm not sure if you have, you know, as a kid, if you remember Tonka trucks. You remember the big yellow dump trucks that could, that had big wheels, and you can almost, and I worked with kids for a long time, and with little kids, one of the things that they would do is kind of put themselves on the back of it, and they would run with their Tonka trucks like they were powering the Tonka truck, right? Now, what's the difference between a Tonka truck and a Tesla? If the budget, I like that, a budget. And the reality is probably most of us could only afford the Tonka truck. But the other side is, the reality for the Tonka truck is that it is usually kid-powered, kid-pushed, with all the noises that go with it. But it doesn't have only the power that the person has. While the Tesla, I was looking up the stats last night, the specs, and the Tesla Model S Plaid Edition has 1,020 horsepower. It can do a 0 to 60 in 1.99 seconds. It can do the quarter mile in 5.23 seconds. So if you think about it, and you think, what's the difference between a Tonka and a Tesla? Ultimately, it's the power source. The difference is the power source. And you have all these batteries that are empowering this Tesla to do incredible things, and then the Tonka truck is, while cute, just kid-powered. And kids have a lot of imaginary power, but mostly don't have real power. And it brings a question to mind when it comes to us in our relationship with God. And I want you to think about this. Which power source would you prefer? A man-powered power source or a divine power source? Because the big idea today, and if you don't remember anything from today, I want you to remember this. The Holy Spirit is our power source. The Holy Spirit is our power source. And so this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you three truths about our power source. That first off, our power source is a gift. Second, that our power source gives us a purpose or has a purpose, and that finally, the power source is super ultra mega powerful. Yeah. Okay, super ultra mega powerful. And so today we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 to start with. And so if you have your Bibles, take a minute to turn to Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. If not, you'll be able to see it up here on the screen. And so let me give you a little bit of background. What we have here in the book of Acts is, and it's a beautiful thing, what we're about to read is Jesus' last words to his disciples. His last words before he would ascend into heaven. And if you think about this, how important are last words? If we think about last words of people, they usually are memorable. And so for us as believers, we should be paying specific attention, close attention to this, because it is Jesus' final words before he would ascend to heaven. So he says this in verse 7 and 8. He says this, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so this first point that I want to point out here is that the power source is a gift. Now, if you look at verse 8, it says specifically, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, this was telling the story to the disciples who had been waiting for this moment. Jesus had talked to them in John 14 through 16 about the Holy Spirit and this helper that would come, and they are waiting. And what we have is Jesus telling them, "You're about to receive a gift." Now, here's the reality. If I were to come up to one of you and say, "Hey, here is an iPad, and I offer to you as a gift," you have essentially one of two options. Maybe a third, but the third's a little more socially awkward, okay? But the first one is, I could give you this gift, and you can receive this gift. Two, I could attempt to give you this gift, and you could reject it. The third, like I said, is kind of weird. You can just run in the other direction and never think or say anything about the gift. That's a little socially awkward. Don't do that one. But the reality is, just like a gift that you can give or receive, the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift that you can receive or reject. And ultimately, what I want to tell you is this today. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit's power into your life. Because the reality is, I don't assume that just because you came to church today that you've received this gift of the Holy Spirit, that you've received this gift of God. Because, and you might be saying, "Roland, well, I don't know, what does it mean to receive this gift?" I'm so glad you asked. The reality of how to receive this gift is simply switching your allegiance to Jesus by believing in the life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, that where he took on your sins and gave you his righteousness in return. When you switch your allegiance to Jesus, the gift that he gives you among many, one of those is the power source, the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you today, will you receive this gift of the Holy Spirit? Today, if you are here and you're new to this Jesus thing and you're saying, "Roland, what is it? What are we talking about here? What do you mean?" Simply put, if you would like to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life and turn your days of death and sin into life and looking forward to the good hope that comes in Christ Jesus, all you got to simply do is ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you choose to say, "I'm going to follow you for the rest of my days." If you've not done that, I pray that you would do that today. Because ultimately, this power, this Holy Spirit power, this power source only is given to those who believe on his name. So if the truth about the power source is that the power source is a gift, well, just like an iPad has a purpose, and there's purpose to the iPad to do all sorts of cool things, like, I don't know, what cool things do you do on an iPad? I'm reading the Bible from it. You can do a whole bunch of cool things, right? But what's the purpose of the power source? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That brings us to the next truth, that the power source has a purpose. The power source has a purpose. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Especially verse 8. It says this, "But you will receive power when the Spirit has come upon you." And so, let's do language real quick. And it's an additional reality. It is something that was added on to this. Okay, you're going to receive a gift. And here is its purpose. Here is the reason you're receiving this gift. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see, the purpose of the power source in their life was so that they would be a witness of what God has done. Now, they had been living in the time of Jesus, and they'd seen his life. They'd seen his power that he had, the power that came from the Spirit of God living in him. And he was able to heal. He was able to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. They were able to see his teachings and how authoritative he lived in it. And so they seen all of this. And here Jesus tells the disciples, "I'm going to give you this power source, and here's the power source's purpose. It is to be a witness." Now, we know this witness language, right? We can see in like courtroom TV shows. We can see in, if you've ever seen an accident and you were at the scene of an accident, and the question that somebody comes and asks you as a witness, "Hey, what happened here? Hey, what happened at this point?" Or if somebody's laughing at something really funny, everybody always wants to know, hey, what happened? And here's the reality of us as witnesses. When it comes to Jesus, we get to tell people, "Hey, here's what happened. Jesus came into my life. He turned my world upside down. He changed the way I live. He changed the way I talked. And he came in and empowered me with the Holy Spirit of God. And now I can say no to sin. Now I can read the word and allow the word to be illuminated in my life. And I want you to know about him." Because see, this word witness doesn't just have the connotation of being a legal witness. If you do some of the work on this word, the reality of witness is not only a witness of something that happened, but also having a personal conviction in regards to the thing that you witnessed. Let me ask you, as eyewitnesses of what God's done in your life and in the life of others, could you be a witness for what God's done in your life to people that have never known Jesus? Because ultimately, the reason why the purpose of this power source in us is to invest in others by being a witness. You see, the disciples here were told that they need to go to all these places and be my disciples. The same way we are called to be his witnesses and go tell the story of, "Hey, what happened with this Jesus guy?" And the reality is, for us as witnesses, our goal, our job, our purpose is to go to the places and go to people, both believers and unbelievers, and be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, because the gospel isn't just for believer, unbelievers, for us too, as believers. You see, the gospel permeates into every facet of our lives, and we get to be a witness to one another. It's what Barry was talking about last week when we talked about fellowship. It's that interchange of the truths of Jesus Christ, the conversations that revolve around Jesus Christ. We get to be a witness of what God's doing in each other's lives so that we can go tell a lost and dying world, hey, let me tell you what happened with this Jesus guy and what he did in my life. You have been given a power source to be a witness so that you can invest in others by being a witness. But that begs the question. So, Brolin, how powerful is this gift? If it has a purpose, it better be powerful, because for me to go talk to somebody about Jesus might be one of the scariest things that I'd ever have to do. This power better be powerful. And let me tell you, and I struggled with adjectives, so I used a bunch. The power source that we've been given, the power source is super ultra mega powerful. Super ultra mega powerful. And I couldn't figure out how to make this clean, and so I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to do this. Originally, I was doing this for high schoolers at Northwest Christian, and I got to share this message with them, and I was like, well, I could Christianize it and make it like, and use a Christianese word, and it's like, no. We need to recognize that the power that God has given us in the Holy Spirit, this power source that we have, is massively powerful. And so here's, let me go, let's do this. If you wouldn't mind, let's go to Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. And we are going to be here for the remainder of our time. Romans chapter 8, they call it the red rose of Romans. It's this beautiful passage. It's maybe my favorite chapter in all of Scripture. And I apologize if this is a little small, but I think y'all can see it. But let me say this. It says in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, it says this: you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you. You need to understand something today, brothers and sisters in Christ. The super ultra mega power source that lives in us is a life-giving source. It is a resurrection power kind of source. It is the same kind of power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, like the text shows us. That same power lives in you and me. I want you to stop and think about that for a second. The same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Think about that. Because that's some power. That's some real power, because Jesus Christ was the only one who could ever raise himself from the dead, and it was done through the Spirit of God. So if this reality is the reality that lives in us, it gives us life, and not just life today, but it gives us resurrection life, so that one day, though our body is dead because of sin, it will be resurrected to new life. So if our power source is super ultra mega powerful, and it has a purpose, are there dangers that we're missing that maybe sometimes we're not actually plugging in to the power source that is the Holy Spirit? You see, I don't know if many of you have traveled abroad before, but one of the things that you're supposed to do is go and bring a travel adapter that plugs on to your plug so that you can plug into a different outlet. You see, in different parts of the world, they have a different outlet shape than we do. So imagine this. You've traveled abroad. You've traveled to the UK. and you've got your phone charger, you've got your computer charger, and you are right on the last bit of your power on your cell phone. And I know teenagers, I know what that anxiety feels like. The last 3% where you've kept it on battery save mode and ultra power save mode, and you are just like, I just need a little more life. My snap streak is about to be done. Some people are like, what's a snap streak? Don't worry about it. Teens know what I'm talking about. But imagine you get there and you try to plug in with your normal plug that you always plug in with. And you plug it, you try to plug it in, and it's like, why doesn't this work? Why doesn't this fit? It's because it's a different power source. It still provides something, but unless you have the right adapter, you can't plug into it. And here's the reality: you could try and plug in your cell phone to that plug, but the likelihood of it giving you any power, it's either going to do one, drain the life out of your phone even further because it's not empowering anything, or two, even worse, could shock you, hurt you, potentially kill you. And here's the reality for us. If the Spirit of God is super ultra mega powerful, why would we try and plug into any other source than Him? Because see, I think sometimes we like to plug into different power sources. And we see that with the time that we have and the time we give something, right? We can think about this idea of plugging into the news. It's not bad. It's not wrong to do that. But if all your energy is being plugged in to watching the news and worrying about finances that are just going crazy, or worrying about politics in the world, but you're not taking very much time to plug into the Spirit of God, you may be realizing in your life that there's a power drain happening in your world. And I would argue it's that you are plugging into the wrong power source. You may be spending so much time flipping through Instagram, TikTok, any kind of social media, YouTube, and you might be watching things and looking at things that also would affect your life in a negative way, where it is beginning to hurt your heart, hurt your soul, because you are not plugging into the power source that God has given you, and actually you're plugging into a power source that is draining life and could potentially hurt and harm your spiritual walk with God. And worse yet, we can plug into power sources that would turn our eyes fully off of Jesus and onto the things of this world that will kill us spiritually, that will cause us to question God, that will cause us to walk away from God, the very one who gave us the super, ultra, mega, powerful Spirit of God that lives within us. We could walk away from that by trying to plug into a source that is not helpful. It is actually killing us and draining our life away. And I would say, so why do we do that? Why would we do that? It was funny, I was talking to my wife about my message last night, and we were just kind of doing some fine tuning, and she brought up this idea. It was like, you know, it's funny, when I go to plug in my phone, how often do I do that? I do it every day without fail, and I charge up my batteries, I charge up my phone, and we expect that the power is given in return. How often do we expect the power of God to show up in our lives? What if we, every time we looked at the outlets in our home, we began to think of the power of God, and it caused us to turn to the practices of God, like Barry was talking about last week, where we did the spiritual formation things that give us life, that is not just doing it because we're checking it off the list, but it's Holy Spirit empowered. We are plugging into the power source, reading His word, and the Spirit of God illuminates us. It's like, oh, I get it now. I understand it, and it gives us life, and it gives us all this power because, man, we understand God just that little bit more. Or like when you're praying, You're seeing God do things in your prayer life, and you're praying, and you're seeing answers to prayer happen. Man, imagine if we plugged into that power source on a regular basis, and we recognize that super, ultra, mega powerful aspect in our lives. But you might be saying, Brolin, what does that super, ultra, mega powerful life look like? What does it look like to have the life that comes from the Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead? What does it look like to have that kind of power in your life? Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you today. You've experienced it. You know that time where temptation showed up in your life and you said no to it? That is a Holy Spirit empowered moment, because there was a time where you could not do that, where you were not empowered to do that life. But it also means that there might be a time where you are stepping in and praying for healing for another person and you see it happen. Both of those are the Spirit of God at work in your life. You might see a time where you've recognized sin in your life and you confess that to God and now you're forgiven. That is Holy Spirit power at work in your life. And you might also see a time where God gives you a word and you say, brother or sister, I need to tell you something, and it's been on my heart and I've been praying for you. Here's what you need to know. And you give a word that just comes and it just heals people's hearts. That's also the power of God living in your life. You see, the Spirit of God is both at work in the mundane and the supernatural. He's in the sacred ordinary and the sacred amazing times. The Holy Spirit is super, ultra, mega powerful in all the specific ways where you are experiencing growth in God. So, I want to challenge you this week as we consider these three truths that we've received a gift that is the Holy Spirit, that it has a purpose and it's meant to turn us to be witnesses to others, and that the power is super, ultra, mega powerful. My prayer for you this week is I want you to, every time you look at a plug this week, I wanted to remind you to plug into the Spirit of God, to recognize the Spirit of God in your life. When you go to flip on a light and you have complete faith that the light is going to come on because the power source that's there is a reliable power source, the Holy Spirit is more powerful, more reliable than any light structure that you've ever been given. You see, you have a significant power source that lives within you that will long outlast the life of these of electricity, that will long live past the battery life on your phone, that will long live past anything you could ever hope for or imagine. So today, I want you to recognize that the Holy Spirit is your power source. So let me do this. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to bring, we'll bring the worship team. You can come up while I'm praying. But while I'm praying, here's what I'd like you to do. We're going to have some time where our prayer team is going to come up, and where they're going to be here ready to do just some ministry with you. And if there's some things where maybe you need to confess and repent from plugging into alternative power sources, come spend some time with our prayer team. We want to pray for you. And if you are struggling with something that is draining the life out of you, let us pray for you. And if God in this moment gives you like some clarity on something, we want to talk to you. We want to pray for you. And let the Spirit of God do powerful, powerful works. Let me pray. Music team, come on up. Father, thank you for the ultra mega powerful Spirit of God that lives within us, and that it ultimately empowers the discipleship of us learning how to follow Jesus. That as we partake in the practices of Jesus, as we listen to the teachings of Jesus, and we participate in fellowship that has the give and take of the truth of Jesus, God, we pray that your spirit would empower us to do that on the next level, even today, even in this moment. And God, if there's something that we've been plugging into that we need to kind of come to grips with, man, I should not plug into that kind of power source. Help us to remember that the Spirit of God is there to push us towards the kindness of Christ, and that we can receive grace and forgiveness in those moments. And Father, most of all, we ask by the power of your name that you would help us to know your love and be able to share it with others, and that we would be witnesses of your beautiful, awesome grace. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's rise and sing.